My next guest is somebody who has broken out of jail on more than one occasion, described as a career criminal. John Killick was involved in the most audacious prison break in Australian history when he escaped from Sydney's Silverwater prison after his partner in crime, Lucy Dudko, the Russian affectionately termed by the media Red Lucy, commandeered a Sinyuk helicopter flight at gunpoint. They were referred to as Bonnie and Clyde. They were on the run for 45 days before they were caught. As I said, John describes as a career criminal, has spent 30 years in and out of some of the worst jails in Australia, or just about every jail in Australia, Pentridge, Goulburn, Boggo Road, Silverwater. He's been a prolific writer. His most recent book has just been published. It's called The Last Escape. I caught up with John yesterday and first up said he was a very popular man at the moment.
Well, yeah, we're cashing in while we can. We'll be back on a scrap heap by Christmas probably. unless they're Jimmy Barnes or somebody, you just don't last long. But, yeah, we're getting some good publicity. I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah. Well, you've done quite a bit of writing over the years now, haven't you?
Well, I have. You know, I think I could have made it in the 70s. You know, I was getting short stories and articles published, but the money just wasn't coming in, and I just got married and had a baby, and you'd get $50 for a story, you'd wait 3 weeks for it. You know, you couldn't smite, you know?
Yeah.
You know, even top writers that I knew that the enemy, they were driving taxis, Richard, you know?
Yeah. And you were actually in Pentridge down in Melbourne when you actually did that writing course, is that right?
That's where I did it, and there was a breakthrough because no one had ever done it. I was in Hayes Division, and no one had ever done it, and I kept at him and at him, and in the end, they said, look, give him a go, and shut him up, and I did it. And, yeah, you know, I thought I could write, and I soon learned that I knew nothing about writing, and it was the best thing I ever did was do that course, and me and Moody really ripped into me and cut me to pieces from C minuses up to A plus.
Look, on the subject of Pentridge, you were there, and look, I've got to ask you were there when Ronald Ryan, who was the last man hung in Australia, was actually hung. I gather it wasn't the nicest place in the world, that H Division down at Pentridge Jail.
I think the only equivalent in Australia would have been at the same time was Grafton, and I never went there, but I know a lot of people that were there, and like Nettie Smith and all those people went there, and they were totally brutal. You'd get bashed as soon as you got there, and often in submission. And I was breaking rocks, you know. I mean, imagine, like, in the 70s, you're still breaking rocks. People don't believe it. But, look, I'm not saying that people, you don't deserve hard times in jail when you commit serious crimes, but it's not up to the prison officers to inflict the extra punishment. It's up to the courts to impose penalties, and from there that's where it should end. And then loss of freedom, and that should be enough. And when you've got prison officers breaking the law and becoming bashers and things like that, they're becoming thugs themselves. You know,
you're referred to as a career criminal these days, John. How did the career as a criminal begin for you? I believe you were a teenager at the time.
Yeah, I don't really subscribe to career criminal because you could probably say that because I've spent nearly 30 years in jail, so that's where it comes from, because I had a long period of time when I was not in prison, Richard, and I was working and doing different jobs, but, you know, I was a heavy gambler, and when I gambled, I got stages where I just went off and robbed the bank.
Yeah.
And, but it wasn't like every day I got up my whole life and said, well, what's my next job? It wasn't really like that.
What put you in jail the first time, John?
Well, we had a hell of a home life, Richard, and Dad was a bit of a tyrant when he was drunk. Good guy when he wasn't drunk. But my mother killed herself when she was 17, and I blamed Dad for it. I left home, I just packed up, left that day, had nowhere to go, no money, and within 6 months, you know, I'd hooked up with a guy's older than me, and within 6 months I was in prison at Long Bay, and it's one of the toughest jails in the state, in the country, really. Met a lot of heavy criminals and learned the code of ethics that I subscribe to, which really turns our own ethics on their head, really. And by 1966, I was out there robbing banks. You know, I was wanted all over Australia in 1966. That's why I finished up in Pentridge.
Yeah. Look, a lot of people say with reference to prison that, prisoners, you know, feel more comfortable there. They, you know, they've got the security of a roof over their head and three meals a day. And like you said, as a young man, you were mixing with much older criminals and hence learning the tricks of the trade, if I can use that expression. Is that why so many people, well, they talk about recidivism, don't they? You know, they're back there. They're backwards and forwards in and out of jail.
Yeah, well, I think it's more, you know, I think that's simplifying it a bit because it's, there are cases like that, there's no doubt. And I see these poor bloody homeless people come in and in a prison and sometimes I see them on the street. It's pathetic now that there's so much homeless in Sydney. And I think, you know, I wonder if he'd be better off in jail, you know, but jail's not so good these days, even then, but they're overcrowded. To hell, education is just about going out of the system. It's people, you don't know who you're going to be mixing with in a cell. People get bashed, they get brutalized. A loss of freedom is a terrible thing. Where you don't make any decisions are made for you.
Yeah.
But I see young kids that a lot of those kids that go into jail when they start young, they had a worse. You know, background of what I did, it's environment that they start off in kids in care and, you know, from welfare, and then they finish up in the juvenile justice system, they get on the treadmill now, and they get mixed up with other crims, they get into drugs, and once they're in jail, and they get into drugs and on learning the tricks of the trade, as you said, it's very hard when you've got a conviction. A lot of doors close to you. And I really think that the government would be much better off, instead of building new jails and putting more kids in jail, having a look at ways to rehabilitate them, because you can get them when they're young and you can work with them. You won't save all of them. There are a lot of wild kids out there. You know that, I know that, but you'll save a lot of them. That's $100,000 a year to keep kids in jail, you know, and that's just a start. You know, the victims and everything else. And if you've got mentors, boot camps, you know, rehabs and where they can work with psychs one-on-one, which I do, and I work with these young kids, we often, we see them, they get jobs and they get a girlfriend and they turn around.
Mm.
You know, it's sort of a vicious cycle. I don't think there's a lot really want to go to jail.
No, I'm sure there aren't. John Killick, more of that chat. His new book, The Last Escape, is just out. It's a very interesting book. He's a very interesting guy. John Killick in just a second.
The Richard King Breakfast Show on Newcastle's 1143 2HD.
Back to John Killick, regarded as, a career criminal, and he pulled off that extraordinary escape from Silverwater Prison thanks to his lover Lucy Dudko, who was, because she was Russian, affectionately known as Red Lucy. I asked John, when did he first meet Red Lucy?
Red Lucy was a tag from the bloody media.
Yes.
You know, look, she's not red now. She's turned religious and she's turned to God. That's why we're.
And you're not allowed to have any contact with her for a number of years, are you?
Well, it's complicated. I can see her. We challenged her in court. Well, I can see her, but she's got to agree to it, and she's got her new life. I have seen her and given her book. Your first book I wrote, not this one. I told her I was writing this, and I wanted to talk to her about what I could put in, what I couldn't.
Right. So when did you meet her?
Well, I met her at a party and was tracked to her straight away. It was December 1995, and she'd only been over from Russia for 2 years with her ex. They were still married at the time. They had a daughter, but the marriage was dead, well and truly. And I won't go into denigrating him on the program, but the marriage was over. But he didn't accept that it was over, and we started to meet and finished up a pretty serious affair and went from there. And even when I finished in jail and she finished in jail, we wrote a letter every day for nearly 7 years.
Right.
We wrote 4,500 letters. That's pretty close to a record, I think.
Wow, okay. Yeah, that's pretty prolific.
It is.
Okay, now let's go back a bit. You've met her, you've fallen in love with her. You're married at the time to Gloria, aren't you?
No, we were separated.
Okay.
I wasn't living with Gloria. We just hadn't divorced, but we were separated. We we were still very close because we had a son.
Yes.
And, you know, he actually went to China in 98. He's been over there ever since, but he comes over here a few times a year.
Right, okay.
Very clever young man, actually. He knows seven languages.
Okay. Okay, late 90s, you're in Silverwater Jail, and I gather Lucy, your lover, is visiting you on a regular basis.
Yes, she, when I was arrested, what happened, I was at, we had a nice place at Canberra, and we had custody of the daughter 5 days a week. The ex had it 2 days a week, and he managed to dig up an old warrant on me through the courts up in Queensland. And it went back to not reporting on 1983 parole offence. And it was activated, and the police came. They were a bit sympathetic, the federal police. They said, look, John, you're going back to jail in Queensland. So they told me to report to court the next day, and we didn't go. Talked about releasing. We didn't go. We took off. And it was a downhill slide from here. You know, we didn't have a job. Couldn't have a job, and lost the bond and the house, lost the furniture, the car, everything. And so I went to the bank, returned. I was a criminal dinosaur, you know, and that was a long time. But I got away with it at Mittagong, but then 3 months later, same thing. And got another one, come unstuck on that. And Lucy was devastated. Once I was off the scene, she was getting phone calls, 2 a.m, threatening her in foreign languages, saying, now your gangster's in jail, you're dead, bitch. This is fair name, stuff like that.
Right.
So she'd come out and see me, stressed to hell, and we sort of look, I'm going to get out. And we knew that the security on me was pretty heavy because I'd already escaped a few times.
Yeah.
The only way we could do it was to come up with something out of left field, and which is we'd come up with a helicopter. And that's why we did it.
Look, I'm laughing now. We can laugh about it after the event. It caught everybody by surprise. Pretty ballsy, though, of Lucy to pull it off, John.
Well, I had no doubt she'd do it. I know Lucy. That's why I think it's a great book. And I put some stuff in there about her early life to give an indication of what she was really made of. She wasn't this tame librarian that people seem to think she was. She's a lady, a real lady. There's no doubt about that. And just the fact is that she, when the pressure's on her, she can rise to the occasion. But saying that we made that decision between us, but it really was my decision in the end, and I blame myself for what happened. And, you know, I gave the okay for it to go through. And she would never have done it without me saying, well, look, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
So I accept the blame to a degree. It ruined her life, although she didn't have a great life at the time. But, you know, she did 7 years in jail. She did hard time. And that's why she turned to God.
Yeah, that's John Killick. And the book is a very interesting book. I caught up with John yesterday. It's called The Last Escape. And Lucy Dudko, the Russian affectionately known as Red Lucy, was the one who commandeered a scenic helicopter flight and at gunpoint, I might add, landed in Sydney's Silverwater Prison, and they took off and were on the run for, I think it was about 45 days, affectionately known as Australia's Bonnie and Clyde. But yeah, interesting book, The Last Escape, John Killick.